everyone. Hi, and thank you for joining us on the podcast again today. We are back in the studio recording, so we're not doing Google Hangouts right now. We are all spaced apart wearing our masks, so still abiding by the social distancing and mask rules. And I'm super excited to be back and to actually see everyone in person to do these recordings. We're going to be talking about summer reading for 2020 today, talk about how it's going to be a little bit different, what types of programs we're offering for both kids, teens, and adults, and how you can earn points towards the summer reading this year. I've got Sydney Klink, the head of youth services, here with me. Hi, Sydney.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good. I've got Diana here with me. She is a youth services librarian. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Bethany. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And we have Ike back on again. Hi, Ike.
Hey.
Is a librarian in information services.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's go ahead and start with Sydney. She's going to give us an overview of what summer reading is going to look like this year and how it's going to be different from last year. So let's
All right.
keep going.
Well, this year, of course, we had to think outside the box a little bit for summer reading. When we were planning this, we started planning back in February. Of course, things changed drastically in March. And so continuing planning without really knowing what it would look like when we put it out to the public was an interesting exercise, but we did it and I'm proud of what we've come up with. So summer reading will be online this year. And we are using a tool called Beanstack. This is a tool we used in the past. We stopped using it in 2018, I believe. And so we've brought it back so that we have an opportunity for patrons to engage with us through summer reading online. Beanstack allows us to do that. It is a third-party web-based software that people will have to create an account for. It's really easy to set up an account. It's totally free. And then once they do that, they can use Beanstack to log not only reading, but activities as well. And through doing both of those things, logging, reading, and activities, people are going to earn points. And the goal this summer is for them to earn 1,000 points.
I love it.
Yeah.
So let's say that I don't have access to a computer at home. What are some alternative ways that I can still participate in summer reading?
Sure. So two alternatives. If you have a phone, there is a Beanstack app, so that'll work on any Apple or Android phone, tablet, anything like that. We also do have the option of logging, asking people to log or allowing people to log on paper. And then that information still has to get into Beanstack because Beanstack is how we're keeping track of points. It's also how we'll do like prize drawings and things. So we want to make sure information gets into Beanstack so then people can log on paper and call us. And then we can put that into Beanstack for them. So there are a couple of alternatives if you don't have access to a computer.
Perfect. And all programming is virtual as well. So
yes.
We won't be doing any in-person programming like we've done in previous years.
Right.
Is there anything else before we move on to programming that's going to look different or that you would like to talk about?
The other thing that will look a little bit different this year is prize pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And because of everything that's been happening in the world, we don't even have a final list of prizes yet. So I'm hoping to have that very soon. But we won't start giving out final prizes. So if you complete the program, which you can do just whenever you earn 1,000 points, you've completed the program. And I don't think we said the program runs from June 1st to August 1st. So anytime you've completed your 1,000 points during that time, that's fine. We won't allow pick up of final prizes until after July 13th. We're just trying to figure out how to safely have kids choose books and things like that while still maintaining some social distancing. So figuring some of that thing out. So that will look slightly different. We will keep our website up to date to make sure people know exactly what to do and how to get their prizes. But so that will look a little bit different this year as well.
So you'll still get prizes.
Yes, there will still be prizes.
We'll still reward you.
Yes.
Great. Thank you, Sydney.
You're welcome.
Let's move on to Diana and have her talk about the youth side specifically, what types of programs we're looking at, maybe some of the challenges that we have on the Beanstack.
Sure. So like we mentioned, all of our programming will be online. And we are going to be offering weekly programming just like we've been doing forever. So I kind of broke it into ages. So if you're looking for programming for younger children, we call those early learners. We've got something on Monday called Boredom Busters. And so we're offering some ways for people to work with their kids on early literacy activities. And those are quite fun. And then, of course, we have story time Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The Wednesday story time is bilingual. So if people are interested in expanding their Spanish skills, or if Spanish is their first language or second language, that's a great offering that we provide. And then some other weekly programming that we have for older kids, school-age kids, we have a book club called Kids Reads on Tuesday. We also have a school-age program where we are going to be, it's going to be a newer program, and it's offering some activities, and some performers are going to be presenting on Thursdays. And then we also have Kids Club, for those of you that are familiar with that program. That's something that is activity-based, and we're going to be hosting that, airing that on Fridays. A lot of it's crafts, some cooking shows, some art activities, some STEM. So fun things that kids can do while they're at home. So those are our regular offerings for, you know, for kids, just weekly offerings. But then we also have some things. So those are, of course, going to be online. But we have an extra element. So we're calling these take and make kits. And these are kits that people can pick up at all of our library locations. And they can take them home. The kids can do these activities at home. So it's got instructions. And if you have access to online, you can find the instructions on our YouTube channel as well. And so we've got, for example, we've got a yarn kit. So if you want to make yarn, people. So we're going to be offering four of those take and make kits over the course of June and July. So those are going to be really fun. And just an added element for people that want to take something home with them for their kids to do.
So multiple different offerings for programs and activities. The programs, are they offered on Facebook, Instagram, and our YouTube channel?
Yes.
Okay.
All of our social media.
Perfect. Okay. Anything else about the kids specifically that you wanted to mention?
Yes, we have some special guests that are going to be hosting performances throughout the summer. And we've got musicians. We've also got a magician that's going to be doing a couple shows. We've got a couple of authors that we're going to be highlighting, and they're going to be reading their stories. And then we also have an artist that's going to show kids how to make some cool projects with paper tube rolls. So kind of recycling, you know, your like your toilet paper roll or stuff like that, you know, repurposing it into art. So that's really cool. And then recently we just aired a puppet show called Good Night, Good Night. And we are also going to re-air that a little around July 4th as well. So if you're looking for a puppet show from the library, those are quite popular. We will be offering one this summer.
Wonderful. And so by attending those programs, doing those activities, they can track that on Beanstack and get points toward their 1,000 goal, right?
That's right. Yep. You can track all of the different events that you watch or you know, participate in, and that will count towards points for their summer reading goal. And, of course, that goes towards their prizes.
Wonderful. Thank you, Diana.
You're welcome.
All right, Ike, now on to adult programming. So just like kids, it's all online. So what kind of things are we offering this summer?
Yeah, so once a week, it's always going to be on a Wednesday, there will be an adult programming, you know, geared towards adults. And it will take place, you know, via social media. It'll be broadcast on social media as well as being on YouTube. And I know that in the spring, some of those other adult events and possibly youth events have been featured on the newsletter as well. And I'm not sure if that'll be the case this summer, but possibly.
I think it depends on the event.
Yeah.
Because I know for mine, I didn't put it in for the newsletter, mm-hmm. but I think some of them will be, yes.
But yeah, I'm really excited about all of the topics that are coming up this summer. The first one will be actually yourself, Bethany, talking about how to use Google Maps. And that one sounds really exciting.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. We'll see how it goes. It was recorded some of them are pre-recorded and then some of them are done live. So that's also a difference, is that some of the material has already been recorded either at home or in the studio, but some of it is also live, yes.
And then there'll be a program on beekeeping, and I think that'll be really fun as well. I know it's a, you know, sort of a popular hobby nowadays. I know it's been popular for a while, but I think it'll be popular here in Mesa County.
Yeah, and that one will be hosted in the garden, right?
Correct, yep.
The Discovery Garden. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
And then our current artist-in-residence, Mesa County Library's artist-in-residence, Rebecca Woods, who's a printmaker and multimedia artist, will actually be giving two online programs this summer. And both those sound really exciting. There's also going to be two local history talks. The first one will be on a brief history of mining in Mesa County. And then the one later on that summer will be a history of irrigation in Palisade. Okay. And I'm excited about those. You know, local history is always a popular topic as far as programs go here in Mesa County Libraries. And I think those will, I'm excited about those. There will also be a program on journaling, a special garden tour of our Discovery Garden here at Mesa County Libraries, and on a program on yoga as well.
Wonderful. So lots of different options for different types of people, mm-hmm. different types of different subjects, different likes.
Mm-hmm.
So something for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a, you know, I think it's neat to have variety that we have, you know, okay, stuff that's like more outdoorsy, hobby-based, you know, learning about local history, learning about art, and an artist's, you know, craft and how they put things together. I think it'll be neat.
Great. Is there anything else you wanted to mention in terms of adults?
No, I think that's about it. I'm really excited about all these topics.
Me too. Sydney, I wanted to circle back to you really quick. We've talked a lot about points.
Yeah.
So in terms of points, how are those allocated? Is it one big giant, like 50 points for a program, or is it smaller, different points?
Sure. Different things get you different points. So I have a little chart here. Not that I cannot memorize it. But, and this is also in Beanstack. There's a nice chart in there for all of our readers as well. So reading will get you 1 point per minute. So that's pretty a good way to rack up a lot of points if you find your favorite book and just sit down and read. If you're using the Beanstack app, there's actually a timer built into it. So it will you can start it, time your reading, and it'll convert that into the minutes for you and give you your points that way. You can also definitely listen to audiobooks. So I say reading, but I mean reading and listening. Mm-hmm. That is all 1 point per minute. And then you can review books. So Beanstack offers the capability of putting in a review for books that you've read. For our younger friends who are not ready to write out a review, they can draw a picture and upload that to Beanstack and do their review that way, but that'll get you 10 points. Attending a virtual program, so all of these things that Ike and Diana have been talking about, will get you 25 points, I'm sorry. And then we also wanted to incorporate just learning and discovery into our summer reading program this year. And so we have a repeatable challenge on Beanstack that is called Discover Something New. And that is just anything that you learn this summer, tell us about it and you'll get 5 points. So maybe you learn something from one of these programs about history, or you've just discovered how to tie your shoes for the first time. You can record that in Beanstack and get 5 points for that. We also did want to bring back the opportunity. Last year, we allowed people to set their own goals, and so we wanted to include that this year as well. So you can set a personal reading goal, and then once you've achieved that, Beanstack will award you 50 points if you tell us what that goal was. And you can do that 2 times during the summer. So 50 points per goal, but a limit of 100 points for the entire summer. And then for our teens and adults, we also included the opportunity to get points for volunteering your time. And that can be anything as informal as picking up groceries for your neighbor or mowing their lawn or something like that. Or if you have a formal volunteer position with a local organization and you're volunteering that way, those will count as well. And that will be 10 points per hour.
Okay.
So lots of different variety. So yes, we want you to read during the summer, but we know that there are other things going on as well. So we wanted to make make it possible to earn points for learning and discovery, as well as creating community and giving back. Mm-hmm. So,
and there's also stuff like a scavenger hunt that
there
you can
is.
Do
yeah.
For each age group, and you can do it as a family. So
definitely.
That's great also. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, that was the brainchild of our staff in Fruta at our Fruta branch, and they did a really good job creating four different scavenger hunts for our four different age groups, and I'm excited to see how patrons like engaging with those.
Me too.
Yeah.
Anything else about summer reading that I've missed?
No, I will just mention a program that you helped us put together that is in, it's also embedded within Beanstack for our kid readers, and that is ages 6 to 11. There is a coding program. You can probably talk about it better than I can, but it's in there as an activity. It's sort of self-directed, but they can earn points for engaging with Google CS
first.
Mm-hmm. And then earn points for that as well. So
yes.
That's embedded right in the Beanstack activities.
Yes, and Google CS First is an initiative by Google to teach computer science to early learners, to kids in elementary school, to really get them into this new era of learning. And it's super easy to do, and you get to make different stories. You can program your characters to do whatever they want, and it walks you through with videos. I am listed on there as a teacher, so if you or your kids have any questions, please use the ask function and it'll come to me, and I'm happy to help in any way I can. And yeah, I'm really excited to see how many people actually do it. You can do it as a family. It is just under the 6 to 11, but parents are more than welcome to sit and help their kids.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how that goes.
Me too. And that one comes out to 25 points if you do the whole thing. So there's both a beginner and an intermediate level so that you can progress.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds really fun.
Exciting. I also wanted to ask each of you what your goal is for summer reading, because we as staff can participate also. We are not necessarily participating like patrons, right? But we do get to log our reading and our goals. So I want to ask each of you, starting with Ike, what your goal is.
I would say so we can get points for by the book, right?
By the minute.
Yeah. Okay. So ooh, that's, I mean, I read a lot.
yeah, we may have to up that point level for sure. 1,000 may not be enough.
I don't know. Usually, I'm not sure how the numbers would equate, but usually I try to read 5 to 6 books a month.
Okay.
So I don't know how that equates. And then I read typically 5 or 6 graphic novels a month, too.
Okay. So. I thought you were going to say a week, and I was like, holy cow, you're going to need more points. All right.
So I would say, yeah, that, you know, if I can, I'll figure out how that translates to points.
Yeah, got it. Absolutely.
All right, Sydney, what about you?
So my goal this summer is to sort of read outside my box. Mm-hmm. And I am working mostly with teens and kiddos in the library. I read a lot of kid books and try to keep up with that. But so I have a goal. This sounds like a kind of silly goal for an adult librarian, for a librarian who is an adult. But I have a goal of reading like at least 2 adult books this summer.
Nice.
So we'll see how it goes. I get kind of stuck in the teen and juvenile fiction books, just discovering those. But
understandably,
yeah,
so.
That's my goal.
Awesome.
What about you, Diana?
Well, my goal, I'm actually reading kids' books. So I started this goal over our quarantine. These last couple of months, I wanted to read through all of the Harry Potter series. Mm-hmm. So I'm on book 5 now, so I'm pretty
good
sure
book.
I'll get through this before the end of the summer. But yeah, that's my main goal. And then, you know, I'd like to learn something new. I've started to get a little more into cooking and baking, so maybe I'll learn a new recipe as well.
Very cool. I think mine is kind of like yours, Sydney. I'm very stuck in the YA and the adult, and I want to read more nonfiction. So it's my goal to read 4 nonfiction books this summer. We'll
there you
see
go.
How that goes.
There you go.
And also just to survive, I think, is another one of my goals.
Yeah, that's definitely a good goal. I like it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me, everyone. I'm so excited about summer reading. If you have any questions, please check our website. Also, I'm sure our social media has a little bit of information about summer reading on it. Or give us a call or send us an email. We'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have. And we look forward to this new summer reading experience with everybody and hope you enjoy. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bethany.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Bethany.
Yeah. So I'm here with Andrea. She's the Teen Services Coordinator. Hi, Andrea.
Hi. How are you today, Bethany?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you.
Great. So she's going to tell us a little bit about summer reading, specifically in relation to teens.
Yeah, so this summer we have a bunch of different virtual events happening for our teens this summer. And we have some regularly recurring programs, but then we have several just one-time programs. That's the only time they're going to happen for the foreseeable future. So first I'll talk about our recurring programs so that you have something to plan on, and then I'm going to talk about our one-off programs. So for our recurring programs, every week we have our Teen Readers Meetup, which happens on Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m., that happens throughout the year. That's not a summer reading specific program. We just do that all the time. We have a Google Hangouts link online that you can join us at 4 to 5. And it's a good time. Yeah, we do talk about books, but we also talk about our favorite fandoms, including Star Wars and things like that. And sometimes it's just a nice way to chat and meet up with people. So, you know, there's been several weeks where I'm like, I haven't read anything this week, but I have strong opinions about this book I read a long time ago. So feel free to join us for that. One of the other programs we have regularly recurring is Dungeons and Dragons every first Friday. We've switched up the times a little bit from what it used to be. It used to be 4 to 6, but right now, since it's virtual, we're doing it 3:30 to 5:30. So check in with us, Dungeons and Dragons every first Friday from 3:30 to 5:30. That's a really good time. It's 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons. All skill levels welcome. If you've never played before, you can definitely come. If you've played a bunch, great. You probably know some things about Dungeons & Dragons that I don't, and I would love to learn. So that covers our regularly recurring programs. For one-off programs, we're going to be having a couple of teen anime watch parties at 4 p.m. Our first one is this Friday, June 12th, and that should be a fun time. Not sure what we're watching yet, but it should be good. We're going to watch a couple of episodes and then just have some time to chat and talk about our favorite animes or mangas, just depending on what you're into. Then on June 18th, which is a Thursday, Sam Malcolm is going to be doing a live stream for us. And he's going to be teaching us juggling, which should be really cool. So it's going to be at 4 p.m. on Thursday, June 18th. And then on Thursday, June 25th, Drum Safari is going to be joining us. I don't know if you've ever seen Drum Safari. They're totally awesome. They generally do our younger kids programs, but they agreed to do a teen program for us this summer. And they're going to be doing a live looping session. Ooh. It's going to be very cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really neat. And I think the nice thing about drums is that, you know, it is fun to, when they are able to be here in person, to try out the different instruments. But it seems like everyone I know who's really into percussion, they can make a drum out of anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're hammering on tabletops and, you know, empty containers and stuff.
Exactly.
So, you know, that I think that makes for a really fun virtual event still, too. But, yes, it's going to be at 4 p.m. on June 25th. And you can check out more on our website, mesacountylibraries.org. Let's see, what else? July 10th, Chris, who works at the Fruta Library, is going to have recorded a video that teaches us about chibi art and just showing that art style. So again, a great one to do from home because you just have to have a drawing instrument of some kind and some paper and you can follow along. That one won't be a live event. It's going to be pre-recorded, but that's the day it's going to be dropping, is July 10th. And then July 17th, another teen anime watch party at 4 p.m. And then on July 24th, which is a Friday as well, we're going to be doing Jackbox Games live. And, you know, hard to say what we're going to be playing because we've got Party Pack 3. So we've got a couple different games on there like Quiplash 2 and, oh gosh, Murder Mystery Trivia Party, I think is the name
of it. Oh, I love that game.
I know. It's so fun. We had a blast playing it last time. Like, you know, it can get a little – I love all the mini games mm-hmm. in it, too. Like, when you fail the trivia and then you have to, like, fight for your life.
Exactly.
It's a good time. So that was really fun the last time we did it earlier this summer. And that's going to be at 3:30 p.m. on July 24th. So please feel free to join us. It's a blast. You do need to have some kind of device to get on the internet with to play along. Just so it can be a laptop or a desktop computer, and or it could also be a phone. So that's the great thing about Jackbox. You don't have to have a console or anything to play along. And then, to finish off the summer for our live events, July 31st, Logan, who also works at the Fruita Library, is going to be doing Harry Potter trivia because it's going to be Harry Potter's birthday that day. So, awesome. And that should be really, really fun. So, yeah, that kind of covers our live virtual events. We're also doing a couple of ongoing kits for you to take. If you're somebody who is not super into the virtual events, or you love virtual events, but you have screen burnout, which I don't know about you guys. I've done so many Zoom and Google mm-hmm. Hangout and various things that sometimes I just want a break from it all. So if you're like that, we've got some take and make kits that you can get throughout the summer and do some things at home with. And we're distributing those on a 2-week basis as supplies last. So it could be even if you come in during that 2-week period, we might be out of the one that you really want. So feel free to give us a call and check on availability. We're offering them all Mesa County Library locations. So yeah, for instance, June 5th through June 18th, we're offering Shrinky Dinks, a Shrinky Dink kit.
Those are so cool.
Oh my gosh, they're so fun. Yeah, I just, they're so supremely satisfying.
They
you know,
are.
It's just something very simple. For those of you who haven't made Shrinky Dinks before, they're super fun. You get a special shrinking plastic that mm-hmm. shrinks when you heat it. And so if you draw on it first, you can make like really detailed art on it and like keyring charms, or I've seen people make jewelry out of them.
Backpack charms, all yeah. kinds of stuff.
So, you know, it's just satisfying to watch that plastic just shrink in on itself. So
it's like the opposite of those toys you would put in water and then they would grow.
Yes.
It's the opposite, but just as satisfying.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't even thought about that. But yes, it is satisfying in a really different kind of way. And then our next one we're going to be doing is June 19th through July 2nd. There's going to be paracord bracelet kits.
Ooh.
And I don't know, are you familiar with those, Beth?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for those of you who might not be familiar, paracord bracelets are also known as survival bracelets. Mm-hmm. And the idea is it is a very long length of cord, often several feet, that is woven together to make a bracelet. So, you know, I have a cousin, he loves to go camping and he always wears one because it's just really handy to have when you're going outside or just in general going around. You know, if you need like a couple feet of cord or something like that, you've got it on your wrist, but in a very compact form. So
it's functional and fashionable.
Exactly. Exactly. I know. And yeah, to be honest, I know a lot more men who wear them than women. It's definitely a thing more with like people who like the outdoors and REI, but yeah. I still think they just look nice.
And
so.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Andy wears one, doesn't he?
He does.
And it has a compass on it?
He does. Yes. Yes. I know. He's got a little compass on it, which is neat. I've seen some too. Unfortunately, ours are not going to be quite that fancy. Ours just have a bracelet on them, but I've seen some where the bracelet buckle is actually a safety whistle.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of neat ones that you can make.
So you can make it and then make it customizable as time mm-hmm. goes on. Add stuff to it.
Absolutely. Yes. Get some bling on there. So, and then July 3rd through July 16th, we're doing kind of an unusual one. It's not strictly speaking a craft, but this was going to look kind of different when it was in person. But we're giving you a bunch of hot sauce and we're saying, and we're saying, here, go cause your family, friends and family some pain.
Oh, no.
And have fun while you do it. So it's in the idea. We're also going to be providing like a list of like icebreaker questions or stuff, or so you can be asking your friends like, hey, so what are your thoughts? What's your least favorite book that you had to read for school? And they're trying to answer you while like tears are streaming down their
goodness.
Face and they're choking. You could also play truth or dare with it, where the dare is to eat more of that hot mm-hmm. sauce. So there's going to be 5 different types of hot sauce in it. I just thought it sounded like a fun idea. So we'll see if people go for it. But I don't have a high tolerance for hot sauce.
Me either.
So it'll be interesting. I have yet to record the video where I'm going to be demonstrating how this works. So you'll get to see me suffer soon if you are listening to this. Just keep an eye out. On July 3rd, there will be a video of me crying suffering. A little bit. Yeah, suffering. Possibly wishing I, you know, hadn't come into work that day, you know, that sort of thing.
Just make sure you have some dairy on the side to get you
through it. Yes. Yeah, dairy or like oyster crackers is one.
Or peanut butter, I've also heard.
Oh, peanut butter, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that kind of makes sense because like Thai food can be very spicy, but there's a lot of peanuts in it too. Yeah. See, I can't do the hot. I can't do hot Thai food.
Me either.
I can do medium.
I don't even think I can do medium. I accidentally picked up medium salsa at the store instead of mild salsa, and about died. It was too hot for me.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you suspect you have an allergy to hot sauce or things, please don't do this one. Just sit it out. I will be telling you what kind of hot sauce it is, too, so that you can look it up, look the brand up online and find out, you know, what the ingredients are, if you have any allergy concerns. But when in doubt, just maybe don't. Just maybe don't. I don't want anyone to suffer too badly from this. Just more in a comedically way. And then our last teen take and make kit, this one is the craft. It's July 17th through July 31st. There's going to be a bleeding tissue paper kit, which is not as metal as it sounds.
Okay.
It's not quite as metal as it sounds, but it's still pretty neat. So the idea is that there's a special type of tissue paper that when you get it wet, all the color bleeds out of it. And so it creates this really neat, like, watercolor effect. Mm-hmm. So I guess if you had all red tissue paper and that was a direction you wanted to go with the watercolor paper, you could make it look pretty, like, you know, Dracula's castle kind of inspired thing. You know, so you could have it look kind of bloody. But that's your artistic choice. I know a lot of people who just do some, like, nice blues and greens for their watercolors. So, yeah, it's really simple. But it's really satisfying, again, of you lay out the paper and the pattern you want on the watercolor paper, and then you get it damp, and you just get to see this color pool out of it and mix, and it looks really nice. So as someone who doesn't have artistic abilities, it's very comforting for me. It makes it look like I know something of what I'm doing, but I don't.
So. I'm in the same boat. One of the key features of summer reading is our summer reading volunteers. We obviously don't have the capability of doing that specifically this year, but we do. We are opening back up to teen volunteer opportunities. So can you tell us a little bit about that and where the location specifically where teens can volunteer in the library?
Yeah, absolutely. So like Bethany was saying, we do normally have a lot of volunteers in the library. So this summer, specifically at the Central Library, we are allowing teen volunteers this summer to come in on a limited basis. We're limiting how many people are in at a time and that sort of thing just to encourage social distancing with the number of teen volunteers we have on one shift. But we do still have several slots open as of this time. That might change in the near future, so feel free to check in with us. But they're going to be volunteering in our youth services department because traditionally that's where we have a lot of traffic in the summer just because kids are out of school and they come in to read at the library. So, and it's going to look a little different than in years past. For instance, we do ask that our teen volunteers do wear masks. The other part of it is that we might be asking people to do a wider variety of things than in the past. So, for instance, all those take and make kits that I was describing, those all have to be assembled. So we have to put all the things together and get them ready to go for people. That's something we're going to be asking volunteers to do. We're going to increase the level of cleaning we do on high-touch surfaces. So for those teens who are okay with that, we are going to, you know, be asking for some help with cleaning some of those high-touch surfaces like doorknobs and things. Then eventually we are going to have prize distribution, and that's probably something we're still going to be asking for help with, which is a very traditional summer reading task of people win prizes over the course of summer reading, but then we have to get them to people somehow and enter their information in the computer. So our teens have always been such a huge help to us for that. And as always, as you might imagine, in libraries, there are always lots of books to put away back on the shelf. So there's always shelving to do. So, you know, it just kind of depends on the day what you might be doing. So, you know, if you have any questions about that at all, please do feel free to contact us and we would be happy to answer them. So, because if you would like to, we would love to be able to make it happen for teens to come volunteer for us this summer.
Yeah, and that ties in really well with one of the activities in mm-hmm. the summer reading, which is volunteering your time.
Exactly.
So you can count that time toward the summer reading goal, and that could help you get prizes. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're looking for service hours for high school, if you're part of the group, those hours, I'm assuming, do count also.
That's my understanding. Okay. I have to admit, I haven't verified, but
I think from when I was in high school, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Admittedly, that was a while ago.
Yes, I do get a lot of people who have been past volunteers contacting regularly for asking for records of their volunteer hours. So I assume they're counting towards something. So
yeah, right.
Yep. But so, yeah. Yes. Yeah, volunteering for libraries always looks good on a lot of applications and things.
Oh, yeah.
So
really great applicable skills that you can put on resumes, mm-hmm. all different kinds of things. So.
Yeah. I was actually a summer reading volunteer myself for a couple of years, actually at Mesa County Libraries. So
came full circle.
Yeah, I did. So that was a nice thing to put on my first resume to the library. It was like, I've been here before. I've helped with things.
I love it. So, Andrea, I asked the other guests, one last question, mm-hmm. and it was, what is one of your goals for the summer reading? Because you have the option to make two goals for the summer. What is one of yours?
It's really boring, but I'm in school right now, so I would just like to keep up with my homework. One of the classes that I'm in, you read a lot of teen literature, and since I'm the teen service coordinator, that ties in really nicely. But yeah, I just want to make sure that I actually make enough time to read all of those books, and there's a lot of them. So
there are.
Yeah. So I just finished one called Blood, Water, Paint. Oh gosh, I can't remember the author's name right now, but it's about Artemisia Gentileschi, who I'm probably butchering that Italian name, so please forgive me, listeners. But yeah, she was an artist during the Renaissance, and her paintings are really quite good, actually. I quite like looking at them. She painted women in a very interesting light in a period when people didn't really seem to know how to paint women. Mm. So, but yeah. So that's just an example of one of the things I've been reading. So I've got like four more to go. So hopefully I can make it this summer.
So if you're looking for recommendations for teen books, Andrea is a great resource. So hit her up. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us today, Andrea. Yeah, and
thank you so much, Bethany.
Yeah, look forward to this fun summer of teen activities and summer reading.
Yeah, thank you.